You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. This week in drone news, we have quite a lot. And we're here again with Hayek Costello from Drone DJ. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me on the show. How are you today?
Doing well, doing well. Very excited as there is some news that hasn't even been released yet. There's so much happening in the industry. And it really seems like after the government shutdown has ended that a lot of things are picking up in pace. But how are things going for you, Hayek?
Well, things are going pretty well here. I mean, we are still not done with the winter in New York, so we got some more snow today, and I think there's more snow coming this weekend. So for drone pilots up in the Northeast, we're waiting for spring to come around.
Well, unfortunately, Haya, I have shorts on, so...
Keep it below the table.
It is a balmy 68 degrees here in Albuquerque, so it is a beautiful day. But let's get right into this week's drone news. Why don't you go ahead and start us off, Haya?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting one. This is going to be mostly your story, I think. Hobbyist drone pilots are now soon to be required to use lands for their flights in controlled airspace. Tell me more about it, Paul.
This is actually a story that we broke together, as no one has broken this story. And it's really interesting because, you know, Haya, right now, we're in a time where hobbyist pilots are kind of in between the old law and the new law. As the FAA reauthorization of 2018 happened at the latter half of last year, the government shutdown kind of stopped any progress on the FAA interpreting those laws and coming out with guidelines to help, you know, FISDO officers and federal agents kind of help hobbyists comply with those laws. Now, previously, Haya, hobbyist drone pilots would only have to notify air traffic control towers at nearby airports when they wanted to fly in controlled airspace. And as you and I both know, a lot of hobbyists don't even notify. And it's kind of a hard system to follow as, you know, the phone can only ring so many times in a given day at certain airports. So in the FAA reauthorization, specifically in Section 349, the FAA says, when it comes to recreational operations of unmanned aircraft in Class B, C, or D airspace, or within the lateral boundaries of the surface area of Class Echo airspace designated for an airport, the operator must obtain prior authorization from the administrator or designee before operating and must comply with all airspace restrictions and prohibitions. Now, that's a huge change from notify to prior authorization. And Haya, I asked the question, what other system is in place right now to give operators, whether they're commercial or hobbyists, instantaneous access to controlled airspace and have a system to essentially monitor this? And the only system and infrastructure in place at the moment, it seems like it's Lance. So now it looks like in the near future, hobbyists are going to have to use the same Lance system that Part 107 pilots are using in order to gain access to the airspace.
Yeah, and that ties, of course, nicely into the article we posted earlier this week about Kitty Hawk going to develop and run basically the Before You Fly app from the FAA.
Yes, in fact, Kitty Hawk has now created this infrastructure with Kitty Hawk Dynamic Airspace, inputting that into Before You Fly. And also Kitty Hawk is one of the only Lance approved providers. So it's like, well, wait a minute, if they're Lance approved provider and they're taking over Kitty Hawk, I mean, you can kind of just see how this goes down the line. And we just recorded a show with Josh and John, you know, the founders of Kitty Hawk, and they kind of led on that, you know, and if you guys haven't heard the show yet, check it out, because John very specifically says, well, Kitty Hawk is great for commercial pilots using Lance, and it'll also be great for hobbyists that will have to use Lance, you know, soon. And it was like, well, wait a minute. Like, did he just say that? So make sure you guys listen into that show, because he definitely drops a hint and a bomb. You've got to listen carefully and acutely if you want to pick up on these little pieces of information. But frankly, Haya, I think this is how the FAA is going to be able to truly monitor which hobbyist pilots are complying and which aren't.
it's for sure a smart move on their end. And what I understood from Josh is that they're looking to implement the new Before You Fly app later this year. So we're not quite sure when it's going to be introduced, I believe, but assume it's going to be still 2019 and we'll be using that same app.
True. So as hobbyist law changes and as the FAA will soon have their interpretation of the reauthorization out, it kind of makes sense for that timeline for Before You Fly. But it also looks like we have a whole lot of other drone news to cover this week. Haya, what do you have?
Yeah, there's one story from last weekend, actually. This took place in Long Island, where somebody who got a little trigger-happy decided to shoot a drone out of the sky using his shotgun. And he fired his shotgun three times. The drone belonged to Lynn Fordale and Teddy Henn, who are part of the Missing Angels in Long Island. And this is a volunteer organization that helps to locate missing dogs. And they had sent the drone up in the air to look for this dog that was missing. And meanwhile, you got this guy taking his shotgun out, firing two shots. The drone operators lost the connection with the drone, so for sure he hit it. And they used the last known GPS location of the drone to find out what happened. And as they walked into that neighborhood, somebody else approached them and said, well, hey, there was this guy who shot your drone out of the air. So then the police got involved. Now it seems that he's going to be charged with third-degree criminal mischief and prohibited use of a weapon. And he's due to appear in court at a later date. So we don't know exactly when this is going to happen. We also don't know if federal authorities are going to follow up on this. And that remains to be seen, I think.
So I've heard that rumor that this case, this particular case, has actually made it to the top of the Department of Transportation, you know, a federal entity. And I think it would be really interesting to see what federal prosecution does come into play, as there have been other rumors on the street that DOJ, not DOT, has specifically put out a memo to a lot of its federal agents saying, do not go after people who shoot down drones. Who knows why? Maybe it's a resource allocation issue. Maybe they're focusing on trying to give police officers the ability to do that. But you know what? This really just begs the question, Haya. This guy who shot the drone out, and to other guys who've been shooting at drones, it's like, what do you have to hide? Why are you so paranoid?
And why the heck would you shoot a drone out of the sky? It's not a smart move for sure, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens now. I mean, we've reported on other cases in the past where people had shot drones out of the sky, and typically they get in trouble with local police, but we've never seen anything happen on a federal level. So we'll keep an eye out for developments in this case.
Which is very interesting, because federal law 18 USC 32 very specifically says what happens if someone does intentionally destroy an aircraft. So I think drone pilots all over the United States really want to see federal investigators come after someone who shoots down a drone. And I mean, you talk to anyone who's an IDPA member. If you're not familiar with IDPA, essentially it's a competitive shooting club. They all say, because I've been a part of that club myself, that anyone who discharges a firearm in city limits, especially aiming up at the sky, has absolutely no right to be utilizing a firearm in the first place, because they fundamentally don't understand the rules of having a firearm.
Yeah. And this federal crime, of course, also is punishable up to 20 years in jail. So if they were to pursue it to that extent, it's the consequences could be pretty serious.
And frankly, I think it would be in everyone's best interest if the feds did come after this guy and set the example, because right now there is nothing online. There is nothing that the federal government has put out to say we are going to enforce against this. And frankly, Haya, I'm really afraid of the day that, you know, you're going to have a drone pilot who has a concealed carry license and fires back at the shooter, or the shooter decides to take aim at the pilot. I ask the federal government, with the utmost respect, please handle this issue before someone gets hurt. Let's not make the human error that humans have made over hundreds, if not thousands of years, by not changing a problem until something significant happens. Let's hopefully just make the change now. But there's good news, though, as there is bad news this week. Is that right?
There is, and there's also a lot of news still. So the next one that we can talk about for a bit is DJI geofencing. They rolled it out, the version 2.0, they rolled it out last year. I think it was late October, early November here in the US. Then about two and a half weeks ago, they rolled it out to 32 European countries, and this is their geospatial environment online, so Geo 2.0. They've now announced to roll it out to, I think it's a dozen or two dozen countries in the Asia-Pacific region. So DJI is looking to expand their geofencing 2.0 basically around the world, and by doing this, making airports safer than they were before, at least.
Well, it's interesting to see that Asia was second to be rolled out from the United States, considering that their market segment is much larger than the United States.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure what the logistics were behind the implementation. I mean, it seems there was a pretty big gap from implementing it here in the US and then moving to Europe. Now Asia follows pretty quickly behind Europe. I think it's a good thing, though. I mean, the new Geo 2.0 is a three-dimensional system rather than just the old circular boundaries that they set around airports. So it's definitely a step in the right direction, I think.
I think it's a step in the right direction as well. Now, one thing that we have been seeing in the news is that drones have been really showcasing, you know, new uses. They're new uses to save lives, but also new uses to essentially hold people accountable and transparent. And as we saw with the oil spill in Canada this week, it seems like drones are once again showcasing the lack of transparency by the government. What's going on in Canada right now?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. This was last weekend as well. There is a train wreckage that happened. 37 cars derailed, and these were cars carrying crude oil. And a number of these tankers have ruptured or broken, so there's quite a significant oil spill. And the company who's the owner of the train, CN Rail, didn't want to disclose the quantity or the amount of oil that had actually spilled. So what happens next, and this is all taking place at Saint-Lazare in Western Manitoba in Canada. What happened next is you had two buddies who have a phantom drone and decided to send their drone up, fly towards the wreckage, and actually record the size of the oil spill. And this was the first footage that was then shared on social media that gave at least people some indication as to how bad this situation was. Of course, we still don't know exactly how much or how many barrels of oil or gallons of oil this equates to. The one benefit is that it's very cold up there right now, so the ground is solid frozen, meaning that the oil cannot actually penetrate the soil, making the cleanup efforts a little easier. But still, if you look at the footage and the pictures, it's quite a significant wreckage and quite some oil that leaked out there.
Yeah, it is significant to say the least, but it also seems like no one really knew the scope of the damage until these two drone pilots, Curtis and Amon, went out there and said, hey, this is what's really going on.
Yeah, it's. I think it was a smart move on their end. I mean, there were some people commenting that they weren't allowed to fly in that area. I haven't looked into that into detail. Either way, I think it's good that this information was made public.
I can't understand how it could be dangerous to fly in that area. If they were to have some sort of malfunction and the battery were to spark, obviously you would have a significant problem on your hands. But it looks like from the pictures that they were distanced pretty far away from the spill itself. So obviously, if you're a drone pilot out there and you're trying to capture a news story, just make sure that you take safety protocols, because you could end up causing more problems, just like we've talked about with search and rescue. If search and rescue isn't done properly, you can actually cost someone their life. So
yeah, and also I don't know how they treat a wreckage like this. If they make this an emergency situation with first responders on hand, then you probably wouldn't be allowed to fly there anyway, just like here in the US. So it may be a situation of that as well. I'm not quite sure what the details are, when exactly this was recorded, but I can imagine that comes into play also.
Absolutely fascinating. So it also seems like there are some upcoming events that are going on. Yeah. It looks like one has finally been rescheduled that we have been anticipating. What's going on?
The FAA-UAS Symposium, originally scheduled to take place earlier this year. Of course, we had the government shutdown, so that got delayed or postponed. Now it's rescheduled. It's going to be in Baltimore, Maryland, June 3rd through 5th. It's going to be the symposium. We're looking to go. I think you're going as well, right?
I will definitely be there. I think it is one of the most important meetings of the whole year. So
Yeah, last year we had, I remember there was quite a bit of snow and I wasn't able to make it down there. And then when all the news came out, I severely regretted not having gone. So it's on my list of places to go to for sure this year.
Hopefully we can get some news shows filmed together instead of right being thousands of miles apart. So
there you go.
Oh, man. I'm excited that the symposium is finally going to happen, as it is one of the most important events of the year. But for those pilots who like to showcase their work, this is also the weekend of the New York City Drone Film Festival. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's taking place. It's starting actually this afternoon. I think they open the doors at around 4 o'clock. There's going to be some workshops and sessions, and they have an expo as well. This is all taking place at the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey, which is right across the Hudson River from Manhattan, basically right across from the Freedom Tower. They start today, 4 p.m. I'm going to go there tonight. They're showing all these drone videos and drone clips. And last year I was there as well, and they got some, they always have some really amazing footage from people that's been sent in. So I'm very much looking forward to what they're going to showcase today.
Definitely a great place to get some new ideas as a drone pilot to up one's game. I like it. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Last year, we saw some videos where they use FPV racing drones with GoPro cameras. And then as people ski or snowboard and jump, the drones fly over the guys in the air. You get these amazing three-dimensional action shots. So we'll see what they have today.
Wow. Wow. I know. Well, Peter and I are working on a super high-speed FPV racer that can also carry a very capable camera, because we've been seeing this evolution, right, of racers being able to provide, you know, more, how do I say this? They're able to accelerate super fast and maintain that speed. But I think you can add that with a gimbaled camera and really get some fascinating shots, which will be interesting to see. But it looks like we got one more story when it is concerned to how drones have once again been saving lives. But I also think it's important to understand the limitations, because as we talk about drones saving lives, we've got to make sure people understand that there are limitations to some of these aircraft. So what happened? What is our weekly boost this week, Haya?
Yeah, let's end with a story where drones again have done something good. This is the Fremont Police in California. This was earlier in February, where a DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise Duel, so that's with the FLIR camera, was used to find and locate a missing teenager. And this is a teenager. There's talk that he might have had some mental problems, or at least some kind of discomfort. He had decided to walk away, and his friends were looking for him, couldn't find him. The police got involved. They sent a drone up. And if you look at the footage, you can see that this particular FLIR camera doesn't provide that much resolution, but the drone operator must have been quite experienced, because he picked out the human body in all the footage fairly quick. And then he used the light on the DJI Enterprise, or DJI 2 Enterprise, to actually direct the police officers to the spot as well. And then the students, the friends who were also involved in locating this missing person, had already found the guy. So they were able to bring him back. He wasn't injured or anything, so it wasn't a life-threatening situation. But still, drones were used to find this person in the dark relatively quickly.
That's awesome. That's such a powerful thing to hear, and I love ending this show
on a high.
Good news. It is always fun. Well, Haya, thank you so much for coming on the show once again and giving us kind of an in-depth pulse of the industry. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, man, and have a good weekend. Enjoy the warm weather down there, right?
I am going to try really hard to enjoy this warm weather. I'm going to get out and fly some more. I've got so much footage I've got to put together. It just keeps stacking up on top of me, so I'll get to it. But Haya, thank you again, my friend. It's always good seeing you.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for our show this week, everyone. So thank you again for listening in. Keep those reviews coming in. I really appreciate those last 20 reviews that came in last week. If you love this show, please let us know. Give us a review on Spotify, on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you download the podcast. That is going to do it for this week again. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone Youth.